This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
All right, well, Josh Kelso here with Tyler Azeltine and Tom Engstead, and we are back. It has been longer than we intended, longer than we anticipated. Big transitions for Gilbert Bible Church over the summer, moving from Saturday nights to Sunday mornings, from our previous host church that we were at for almost 4 years to now being on the property that we intend to be on for the indefinite future, which is so exciting. Been encouraging to watch our body. Gilbert Bible Church, you are a blessing to your elders as we've made this transition. All the work, all the effort, all the hours, all the prayer, all the sacrifices given, even just the disruption to the normal flow of ministry and the way that our body has come around these changes with humility and grace and showing preference to one another has just been incredibly encouraging. We just love our church. We love the people in our church and are so grateful for all of you. And we are excited to get back into the Word and the Walk. And we are going to pick up where we last left off, which is working through the biblical convictions of Gilbert Bible Church. If you haven't listened previously, I encourage you to go back and listen to our first podcast on this topic, where we just talk a little bit about the heart. Why these convictions? Why do we have convictions? Are these all the convictions we have? And obviously the answer is no, but we talk about those things more. And then most recently, we looked at the doctrines of grace and God's work in salvation. And now we're going to shift a little bit to the doctrine of sanctification. Tom, talk a little bit about why this distinctive, why this conviction, why do we put this in front of our body, big picture, in thinking through biblically God's design and intention for sanctification. And even before that, it probably would be helpful if we just define what do we mean by sanctification.
It's great. Absolutely. Sanctification, just a simple definition would be it's the ongoing work of the gospel in the life of the believer. And I think it'd be even helpful to even speak about what is sanctification, but what is justification? Mm-hmm. Where sanctification is an ongoing work, justification is the one-time event where God saves a sinner. You mm-hmm. can't lose it. If you are justified, you are in Christ. And then comes the sanctification, which is the ongoing work of the gospel reality of being in Christ in the believer's life. And I think that's just a helpful place to start, is just recognizing the difference. When we talk about doctrine, we want people to understand. And so I think that's helpful just to give a couple of definitions of sanctification and justification. But to boil down to your initial question, we're talking about the ongoing work of God as we participate in our growth in the life of the believer.
Excellent. And now maybe what I first asked, and then I followed up with what we needed to talk about first. why draw attention to this? Why do we need to talk about this? What's been going on the last couple decades in evangelicalism that's created confusion in regards to this topic? And what are the points that we need to be clear on?
Wow. Tyler, you want to take a stab at that? That's a big question.
So I definitely wasn't around when this became a doctrine.
I mean, you might have been alive.
Yeah.
But
of Grace Bible Church.
Yeah, that's right.
I was when it became a conviction of Gilbert Bible Church.
Yes.
I think people definitely take what you just said about justification, Tom. People have taken that and said that is all I need. Mm-hmm. And right. There are people who would agree with what we say about justification, that it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And they would be content to stop there. And and keep on living the way that they have lived before. Yeah. I think that is one danger that this doctrine actually helps us to avoid is God, when he has saved the believer, intends to change the believer. One thing we've all heard, we've said, is there are no works that help get you into salvation. Mm-hmm. There is nothing good that you can do to make yourself right with God. And after salvation, God has all sorts of good works for the believer to walk in, that he prepares. He's the one who is ultimately is doing the work in the believer, but the believer actively participates in that. Just that word sanctification means to be set apart. And the believer is set apart in multiple different ways. Hmm. There is a sense where you have been sanctified, 1 Peter. At the beginning of 1 Peter, that was a salvation reality that's happened to you, and the believer is currently being sanctified. In the future, the believer will finally be sanctified. We call that glorification, when we see right. Christ and we are made like him mm-hmm. in a moment. Right now, we find ourselves in that place where we have been justified by God's grace, and we are practically supposed to be pursuing holiness.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think as we talk about a doctrine that's near and dear to our church, I would want a participant of Gilbert Bible Church or the capital C church at large to truly understand that there is a biblical expectation of growth in the believer's life. We are being conformed, we are being transformed day by day by the renewing of our mind, that we are going to look more like our Savior. Scripture just expects that, and I would want people that are part of Gilbert Bible Church or anybody listening to our podcast to just look at themselves and ask, am I growing in Christ-likeness? Mm-hmm. Because it's an expectation, and that is the sanctification process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always been attacks on truth, and particularly truth pertaining to the work of Christ, the person of Christ, and there are attacks on his work in salvation, justification, not being adequate. We need to add works to that. We need to contribute somehow to our salvation. But there's also attacks on what Christ has saved us to and what Christ expects in his role in our life, in our salvation. A couple of those attacks that have come over the last couple decades, more prominently, at least in our culture, has been the idea of easy believism, that Jesus can be your Savior, but he doesn't have to fulfill the position of Lord, that he can forgive you of your sins, but doesn't need to assume the role of King of your life. And so you enter into salvation through a prayer or a confession or something, and then now you're good, and you can just go on with the same kind of living that you had previously. That's never how Scripture, like you were saying, Tom, that's never how Scripture presents salvation. You read Romans 6, the chains are released, you're freed, right. You're forgiven. Don't go put them back on and live the way that you did prior to Christ. The other part is the free grace movement that started to push this idea that, hey, you're passive. God does all the work in salvation. You just sit back, let him save you. And in your sanctification, you're progressively being made more into the likeness of Jesus. You're also passive. And so just renew your mind with the promises of God, which sounds good. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But ignore the imperatives. So look at the indicatives, but ignore the imperatives, ignore the commands of Scripture. Those aren't for you. Hey, God will complete the work he started. You just kind of let go, let God transform you more into Jesus. And that doesn't accurately capture Scripture as well. We're called to put to death the deeds of the flesh.
Right.
Our flesh is waging war. We're called to renew our mind. We're called to pick up the armor of God. We're called to put on holiness. All of those commands in Scripture for the New Testament believer are given not as commands unto salvation, but as commands in light of salvation. We live this way.
You know, in our document that we have in our membership that outlines the conviction that we're talking about, the doctrine of sanctification, there's a sentence that says, the believers now, by the power and the promises of the gospel, has died to sin and has been raised with Christ. And I think it's important to even just remind us of what are these promises. Because the more we love our Savior, the more we're going to desire to grow. And the promises that we have been given is the forgiveness of sin. We've been adopted. He is our Father. God is our Father. We are his child. We're promised the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're promised the union with Christ. We're promised future glorification. We're promised God's faithfulness. Where else would we want to go but to be pleasing to a good God?
Yeah.
And we cling to the promises.
Yep.
And that is what spurs us on in our sanctification.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think oftentimes things are presented or we have a view where God saves us from the punishment of our sin, but I don't want to let go of my sin. I still like it. And to let go of my sin and live a holy life is some sort of burden or difficulty or hardship. It's keeping me from good things that I really enjoy. And I think that's an unbiblical view of sin. I think that that's a lack of recognition of the new heart and new life that the Lord grants the believer. Our flesh wages war against us and is drawn to those things. But there is no good thing that God calls us to give up.
No.
Sin, abandoning sin, fleeing sin, pursuing holiness is actually only for our good. I love 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. What's hard about pursuing holiness is the residual sin in our flesh that wages war against us. Not that the commandments of God, the call to be holy, is somehow to our detriment. And I think that's important for us to think about when thinking about sanctification. God's not asking us to give up something that's good for the sake of trying to control or I don't know what we think he's trying to do, but sometimes it seems like, oh, I have to give up all these good things to follow God.
No,
that's never the case.
Yeah, and hopefully as you mature, you recognize the things you thought were good things as an infant in Christ, that's just not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just a, you know, you think of, I'm thinking of Philippians 2:12-13, you know, that we work out our salvation in fear and trembling, fear that I'm going to sin against my God.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I want to be pleasing to him. That needs to be my identity.
Yeah.
Somebody that strives to be pleasing. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned, you know, Romans 6, and in our document, I just looked, and the word slave is in there 6 times. I realize that could be a controversial word in our society because of just the sinfulness of man in our country's history, but we were bought at a price. We were a slave to sin. We've been freed. Now we are slaves to righteousness. There should be an expectation in the believer's mind, a change of thinking. I have a new master.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
And we just grow.
Yeah.
And we aren't perfect, but we just strive to be pleasing to him. Mm-hmm. We're not sinless, and we continue to be daily repenters.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thinking about just the Christian life of growth, we're all in process in our sanctification. Sometimes that can be used to try to justify our immaturities where we're at. We want to defend our sin with, well, hey, we're just all in process, and kind of rationalize our apathy towards growing. There is a dual reality that you talked about, Tom, at the beginning. The believer is justified. There's no condemnation. You're no longer a slave to sin, as you just said. The scripture actually says now our master is Christ. We're slaves to righteousness. And so it's not that we still have no obligation. We actually have an obligation unto righteousness as believers. That's a process. Even the word sanctification is from the word for holy, pistos, now I'm drawing a blank.
That's my job to draw a blank.
That's faith. The word, Tyler, you look it up for me. The word for holy or for sanctification is from the root word for holiness, but it's to be made holy over time or set apart. And so even scripture talks about you have been sanctified, you have been set apart in one way, but then you are progressively being sanctified, conformed to the image of Christ over time. Did you find it?
Yeah, it's Hagias.
Hagias, thank you. The idea of being made holy over time, holified, being progressively made holy. And there's an element where that is a work of God in the believer's life. That's absolutely true. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And even in Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. So there is this dual element that the Spirit of God is at work in believers. He's conforming us into the likeness of Christ. And there is to be a proactive, assertive effort unto godliness of life, where we are striving unto godliness. We're not striving in the sense of we're wrestling against God. We're not striving in the sense that we're trying to control circumstances that are God's to control. We're striving in the sense that we are laboring to grow in Christ's likeness out of love for Jesus, because he's our master. We want to glorify him. Mm. We want to honor him with our life. So I'd love to hear from you, men. If somebody's going, man, I just see sin in my life. I don't want to sin anymore. Where would you encourage somebody who's wanting to grow in holiness to start? What are some kind of basic practices, principles, disciplines that you would encourage somebody who's wanting to grow in godliness?
Wow. I'll take a swing at that. Because it's just, in teaching the biblical counseling class recently, and just one of the pillars of biblical counseling is the inerrancy of Scripture. God's word is sufficient, it's without error. And so you think about, how do people change, is kind of the question. How do I change? And 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. And there's four components to change, though. There is the teaching, there is the rebuking, the reproofing, there is the correcting. And don't miss this, the last one, and training in righteousness. Mm. I think if you want to grow, you must have the ongoing training for righteousness. And how do you do that? I think that's in verse 14 of here in 2 Timothy 3:14. But as for you, and here's Paul talking to the pastor, the elder of the church in Ephesus. He's not talking to a new believer. He's talking about a godly man. And he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned. And that word continue is ongoing. And so if you're struggling and not satisfied with the sanctification process in your life, let me tell you, you must continue to be in God's word. Mm-hmm. You need to continue. And now the word continue is interesting. We use it in the English language, like we'll continue playing this game after we have dinner. Well, in the original Greek, this word continue, it doesn't stop. It's a continuation that doesn't end. Mm-hmm. Paul's charge here to us and to Timothy is don't stop renewing your mind with God's word. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to grow in sanctification, don't stop in renewing your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're dissatisfied with the sanctification process, evaluate, how are you doing at training yourself for righteousness? Mm-hmm. And God couldn't have made it any simpler. It's all there in three verses. Go to his word.
Yeah. So good. So helpful. I think oftentimes when we're struggling with sin, we want kind of this magic shortcut, you know, the cheat code to advancing in our sanctification. That's just not how God has designed it. He's given us all that we need for life and godliness. He's given us the tools, the graces. But we also have to be disciplined to walk in them. And I think the distinction that's so important is to live in light of the assurance and confidence in the sufficiency of the work of Christ in the gospel, and then to let that fuel, I am loved, I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven, I'm justified. And now out of love for my Savior, I want to pursue holiness. It's not a pursuit like of holiness because you're walking on eggshells and got to please God. Christ pleased God on our behalf. And now we get to walk in light of that. And so we embrace the graces that he's given to us. You know, first and maybe foremost, his word, like you said, Tom, absolutely. Because that's what gives us the knowledge and understanding of all the rest that follow. But things like, in addition to that, or as a response to what God reveals in his word, things like prayer, fellowship in the body of Christ, be around other believers, confess your sin, humble yourself, seek encouragement, seek help, accountability, take proactive steps to put aside unnecessary temptations, make no provision for your flesh. And so embracing the graces that God has given us, oftentimes people kind of spiral spiritually because as they notice sin in their life and feel conviction, they feel shame, they become reclusive, they distance themselves, they start looking for some sort of feeling to combat their conviction and their guilt that they feel over their sin, as opposed to running towards God's graces of, you know, don't forsake the assembly, get involved with other people's lives, humble yourself, confess your sin, seek help, seek counsel, all of those things as you're exposing your heart to the truth of God's word and coming in prayer.
You know, I just would encourage somebody struggling, just God's word does not lie, and God's word tells us the believer really can obey. Mm-hmm. Scripture's clear. It's a promise that sin no longer reigns. You're not mastered by sin. Believers they're set free from sin's mastery. Believers can grow increasingly in obedience to Christ. And God gives us the power to do it. The trials, the temptations in life are his means of enabling us. We get to be obedient. Mm. Mm. We get to please him.
Yeah. I know the battle can be hard. It can be discouraging. And people can search for all sorts of different kinds of explanations as to why they think they can't get freed from lifelong vices, lifelong sins, patterns of sinfulness. What's the danger in trying to go down that rabbit hole of figuring out why am I the way that I am? How would you counsel somebody who's maybe in that moment of just feeling deflated in their battle for sin? I think you've already touched on it. You've already given the answers, but maybe just if somebody's listening and they just feel like this is just a battle, I hear that, I must be a bad Christian because I'm not winning the battle. What's wrong with me? What was done to me? Yeah. Sometimes we want to victimize ourselves. And the reality is sometimes people, most of the time, you have been sinned against egregiously in your life. How do you break free from those cycles of thinking? And kind of what's just the next step of right thinking when you are downcast, when you are discouraged?
I think my go-to, where I take my thoughts to, is 1 John 1:9. Mm-hmm. When I agree with God, that I'm in sin, that I am sinful. There's four promises. God promises that He is faithful, He's just, He forgives, and He cleanses. And I think the starting place is just in prayer, going to the Lord and just agreeing with Him. Mm-hmm. God, I need Your grace. Mm-hmm. I am sinful. Mm-hmm. And so I think instead of beating yourself up and doing nothing, do what God has called you to do. Just agree with Him.
Yeah.
Help, Lord. Yeah. I am sinful.
Yeah. That's good. Tyler, any last thoughts on your mind?
Just a passage that's been rattling around as we've been talking, just, I think summarizes a lot of what we've said, is Romans 8:12-14. Yes. 12 to 13. So then, brothers, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. Mm. And there are so many helpful reminders in those verses. John Owen wrote a whole book on one of those verses. But it's like there are warnings which are a blessing to the believer.
Mm-hmm.
The consequence of sin is real. Don't keep pursuing it. This is like in light of what God has done in the gospel leading up to this point. This is in light of God's sovereignty flowing right out of this passage. Mm. The believer is under obligation to live a certain way right now, to fight against sin in their life. How do they do that? By the Spirit. Mm. Not in your own power. So often I think when we are feeling discouraged, we evaluate, we look back at our lives and there is a whole lot of me and I in my thoughts. Mm. I just haven't done whatever. Why do I keep doing this? Mm. And it is so helpful to be reminded, Tom, like you just said, what has God said? Mm. What has God said is true about the gospel, about my salvation, about my new state, about the fact that I continue to sin. I need to trust in Him. How do you live by the Spirit, fight sin by the Spirit? I think you pray. You keep coming to His words for fuel. You don't neglect the graces of God that the Spirit gives you, like you just said a minute ago, Josh.
You know, sin is reality. We are sinners. And if you're feeling convicted or beat up listening to this podcast, go to the Word. That's where you're going to find hope. Mm. That's where you're going to find comfort. Yeah. God's Word is so full of promises of being in Christ, and that's our hope.
Yep. Amen. Tom, I've heard you say on so many occasions, we're just beggars helping other beggars find bread. I think of 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That's lesser glory to greater glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. And that's just such a wonderful promise, such a wonderful reality that God is doing that, and we need to stay in the fight in our battle for holiness. And we're all In that process of being conformed more into the image of Christ, and one of God's gifts is that we get to do it together. And so if you are listening to this and you are feeling conviction, renewed vigor to pursue holiness, your pastors are here for you. And come talk to us. We would love to be available to walk with you, to encourage you, to spur you on when necessary, where necessary, to admonish you, and to pursue our Savior together alongside of you. And so we are available and eager to serve you in that way and to walk with you in that way. Thanks for listening. By God's grace, may we continue to grow into the likeness of our Savior for His glory.
Great to be with you guys today.
Excellent. Likewise.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.